It was a reddish-colored Chevy pickup. Reddish, but not exactly red. Macaroon. Macaroni. Maroni. What do you call that color that is almost red, but not quite? Or, to put it another way, who cares? It was a reddish Chevy pickup, and it had no business on my ranch, and maroon. There we go. It was a maroon-colored Chevy pickup, and it had no business driving on my ranch. Right away, I went to bark the alarm and alert the house. I knew Sally Mae would be a bird dog in the back. Holy smokes, it appeared that I had just intercepted a shipment of illegal bird dogs right there on my ranch. This case promised to be more... Huh? The alleged bird dog spoke, waved a paw, smiled a big sloppy smile. Hey, by golly, it's great to see you again. Just great. How's the ranch? I hear we're gonna hunt some birds, huh? Great. I hope you can come along. I canceled the red alert. It appeared that we had jumped to hasty conclusions about the, shipment of illegal. It was Billy's pickup, and there for a moment I had... He'd traded pickups since I'd seen him, and... No big deal is the point. Billy was always welcome on our ranch, even though he was hauling a bird dog who had been invited by other parties, and I had no control over that. I canceled alert the house and gave Drover the order to shift into escort formation. We did the shift in the twinkling of an eyeball. Drover took right flank and I took left. And we gave Billy a safe escort all the way down to the corrals. The moment he came to a stop, I rushed to the pickup and applied the ranch trademark to all four tires. And we're talking about lightning speed. I blasted them, fellas. Just knocked the sinners right out of those four tires. Have you ever wondered why we do that? Why it's such an important job for the head of ranch security? I'm not sure I should reveal it. It's pretty secret. Very secret, in fact. So secret that even some dogs don't know the reason behind it. Do I dare go public with this information? Better not. Hey, if it fell into the wrong hands... well, maybe it won't hurt. But just to be on the safe side, don't blab it around. Okay, here it is. The whole truth behind the marking tires procedure. That procedure places a special secret chemical lock on all four tires, which totally immobilizes the vehicle. No kidding. It can't be driven away until we supply the proper codes, which unlock the chemicals, so forth. And if we don't happen to supply the secret codes, the vehicle becomes totally worthless. I mean, they have to send out a wrecker from town and tow the thing off the ranch. It's that powerful. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it is, and now you know the whole story. But don't blab it around because, well, just think about it. If word of this ever got out to the general public, nobody from town would ever come out to visit Loper and Sally Mae. They'd get lonely and lose all their friends. I mean, people would be afraid to risk it. Those cars and pickups are expensive. Actually, we very seldom go to the extreme of total lockdown. Most of our cases turn out to be routine. We apply the chemical lock, check out the drivers, supply the codes, and turn them loose. The last thing we need on the ranch is a bunch of abandoned cars and pickups. The place would start looking like a junkyard. No, we usually turn them loose. But when we turn them loose, they're marked with invisible electroloids, which means that we can run a tracer on them anytime we choose. You never realized all this was going on, did you? You probably thought we dogs were just, I don't know, going through some foolish ritual, I suppose. Foolish to those who don't understand, maybe, but to those of us in security work, it's all part of a very clever master plan. I'm sorry, but that's all I can reveal at this moment. And I hope I haven't revealed too much. There's some danger in... I've already said that. Now, where were we? Let's see. Ah, yes, we had just given the pickup safe escort down to the corrals, and I had marked all four tires, virtually immobilizing the macaroon-colored pickup. Once I had applied the chemical lockdown agent, that pickup didn't move an inch. At that point, I eased over to the vicinity of the pickup door and began a snifferation of Billy's pant legs. This is another standard procedure we follow every time new people come onto the ranch. Even though I knew Billy, I had to check him out. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. The tiny pieces of the puzzle began... Actually, I couldn't make much sense out of it. His pant leg smelled exactly like blue jean material, which sort of fit the overall pattern since he was wearing, well, blue jeans, you might say. Not much there, but I pressed on with the snifferation, just in case he suddenly kicked me on the nose with his boot heel and said, "Get away, bozo," which is what he did, and yes, it did hurt. But at least I'd gotten my nose damaged, and I suddenly lost my desire to sniff out his stupid... Drover had just arrived on the scene, late, as always, huffing and puffing, as always, and limping. "Drover, I've got a little job for you. Sniff out Billy's pant legs and give me a full report." "Well, that's a direct order. We don't have a moment to spare. There's one in the back of the pickup." Our eyes met. "What?" "I said, there's a spare in the back of his pickup."
"That's a bird dog."
"No, it's a spare tire. I saw it myself."
I went nose to nose with the runt and showed him some fangs. "Oh, yeah? Well, I'm tired of arguing with you, so spare me the details."
"Gosh, that was good. Tired and spare, like a spare tire."
I found myself sharing a little chuckle with him. "It was pretty good, wasn't it?"
"Yeah, it was great. Did you think it up yourself?"
"Oh, yeah, sure. It was no big deal. Just popped out of my mouth, as a matter of fact."
"Boy, I wish I could do things like that. I never can remember a joke, and then when I do, I forget."
"Actually, Drover, it was more of a pun than a joke, a clever play on words."
"I ate a crayon once. Made me sick."
"Yes, but I said play on, not crayon."
"Oh, well, I never ate a play on."
"No, I suppose not. I blinked my eyes and gave my head a shake. "Drover, were we talking about something?"
"No, I don't think so. We were just standing here telling jokes."
"I see. Yes, of course." I moved away from him. All at once I felt that my thought processes had turned to mush. This had occurred to me before, and it always seemed to happen when I was standing close to Drover. There was something about the little mutt. Oh, well. I turned my attention to other matters. Plato had jumped out of the pickup and was running around with his nose to the ground. I saw no great harm in being cordial to him. I mean, he had been invited to our ranch, and what the heck, he wasn't such a bad guy. See, I could get along with Plato when it was just him and me. Our problems in getting along had always been related to Beulah. Beulah wasn't around, so we had nothing to fight about. We had nothing about which to fight. About which... You should never use a preposition to end a sentence with, but who cares about prepositions? Not me. I'm a very busy dog, and besides, a head of ranch security can end a sentence any way he wants. The point is, I could tolerate Plato by himself, and being cordial to him once in a while wouldn't kill me. In fact, there's a wise old saying about something, being kind to others who are inferior, and I can't remember it, but it's a great wise old saying. Anyways, Plato had his nose to the ground and was streaking around in front of the corrals. Have you ever watched a bird dog going through this kind of routine? I don't mean to scoff or make fun, but he looked totally ridiculous and absurd. I mean, here was a dog who was running around like a, I don't know, a stealth bomber, I suppose, with his neck thrust out and his nose to the ground and his tail thrown out behind like a fishing rod. And he was so serious about acting so silly that I didn't know whether to laugh or feel sorry for him. See, what made it so ridiculous was that he was looking for quail, and I happened to know that there wasn't a quail within 2 miles of our present location. Our quail stayed in the sand draws and up in the canyons. I knew that for a fact because, well, without revealing too much about my business affairs, I can tell you that our security division monitored the location and movements of every covey of quail on the ranch. We knew them, knew their positions, their habitats, their trails, their feeding grounds, their nesting grounds, the whole nine yards. And there was poor old Plato, being a totally sincere vacuum sweeper and searching for birds that weren't there, or even close. Nah, it wouldn't hurt me to be kind to such a dumbbell.